We're continuing in Sichai Saran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom, Sicha Kuf Lamates, 139. Rabbi Nelson Zal says that one of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim told me that somebody was once talking to Rabbeinu Zal about a shidduch that was being offered to him. And the person said to Rabbeinu Zal, "It's not the place for me." So Rabbeinu Zal answered him, "When a person has a Jewish heart, then there's no concept of a place for me or not a place for me. Every place is the place for that person. Because the heart is ruchnius, the heart is spirituality. It's elukus." And Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in the second half of Likut Imran, chapter 56. There Rabbeinu Zal says that when a person has a heart, a real heart, then the concept of place, the limitations of place, don't apply to that person at all. That person can't say, "I can only serve Hashem in Yerushalayim, in Tzfas, in New York, Lahavdil." That person, if a person has a lave, he can serve Hashem anywhere. Because if he has a lave, the right kind of lave, then he is the place of the world. Not the world is it, not he exists within a certain place. The whole world is inside of him. He is Mekoymoi Shel Olam. Because we know the ruchnius, the spirituality of a person, is in his heart. Like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 73, Tzur Levavi, the Hashem of my heart, the rock of my heart. Hashem is called Tzur. And by Hashem, it says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hine Mokoim Iti, you have a place by me, inside of me. Hashem is the arena of everything. So therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, Mi sheyesh loy lev Yisraeli, a person who has a Jewish heart, ein roy loy loymar shemokoim ze ein toiv lefonov. It's not really right for that person to say, "I don't like this place. I can't really work in this place." Ki ein shayech etzloy mokoim klal. Because the difficulties, the tzimtzumim of Mokoim don't apply to him at all. He's above it. He's like Hashem is above it. This person is connected to Hashem to such a degree that he's above Mokoim. Mokoim can't affect him. Wherever he is, he's connected to Hashem. He has his Torah and Tefillah. Somebody once said to Rav Nosson Zal, "What are you going to do if you find out? Let's say, I know you don't believe this, but what if you die? And you come to the Bezin Shalmala, and they send you down to Gehenim. What are you going to do?" Rav Nosson Zal smiled, and he said, "Simple. I'll take out a Likut Imran, and I'll start learning, and all the neshamas of the tzaddikim from Gan Eden will come down, and it'll become Gan Eden." That was his comment. You could tell he wasn't afraid at all. It wasn't an issue of a mokoim affecting him. He was so far above that. He had such emunah in Hashem and emunah tzaddikim, and he was so dovuk to Hashem and tzaddikim that mokoim, who cares? Put me anywhere. I can, as long as my mouth is working, I can talk to Hashem, I can learn Torah. Doesn't matter where, what, when. This is obviously a madrega, and each person on their madrega has to try for this. Rabbeinu Zal taught us that this is what's possible. It's possible for a person to climb to such a madrega that mokoim is not an issue. You get people, sometimes a person goes away for a Shabbos, or a person finds that they have to go be in a certain place for a certain period of time, and they start thinking, how am I gonna be able to do my avodas Hashem there? How am I gonna be able to do? Rabbeinu Zal shows us that to the degree that a person is a real yid, and he understands that a major part of the yid is the heart, the lave, if he's got the right kind of lave, he's above the issue of mokoim. The next sicha, Kuf Mem, 140, Rav Nosson Zal says that when Rabbeinu Zal told me the shir that's mentioned in the second half of Likut Imran, chapter 86, Pevov, which is based on the pasuk in Parshas Vayera, where it tells us that the Jews were suffering in Mitzrayim, they were slaves, and it says they couldn't even hear. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to save them, at first they couldn't even hear the words, Mikoitze Ruach Umeavoida Kosha, from shortness of breath and from the incredible hard labor that they were going through. So Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likut Imran, when a person is suffering from a deficiency in Emunah, When the emuna is weak, then the person has to do hard work in order to serve Hashem. In order to please Hashem, it requires avoidois koshois, hard things. Meaning that sometimes there are times when serving Hashem is relatively easy. It goes, saloift. He's running, he's doing things, he finds he doesn't have to struggle to do it. And sometimes a person finds himself in a situation where every step is mamish avoido kosher. It's like picking up a heavy rock. It's a struggle. It's a struggle very hard to get up in the morning and very hard to do this. And Rabbi Nazal explains this over there. He shows how this is toloi in emuna. When there's a katnus of emuna, it requires avoidos koshers. So Rabbi Nazal writes, I was listening to this, and I stood in front of Rabbi Nazal, wondering, why is he telling this to me? I'm so strong in emuna. And Rabbi Nazal wasn't arrogant, but he knew that when it came to emuna, he was so strong in his emunah in Hashem, in his emunah in the Torah, emunah tzaddikim. So Rav Nosson Zal writes, I thought that I have a little bit of emunah, so why am I finding things so difficult? So he says, Rabbeinu Zal spoke to me, reprimanding me. And Rabbeinu Zal said, if you have emunah in Hashem, what about emunah in yourself? And Rabbeinu Zal said, you don't have emunah in yourself. And Rabbi Nazal mentioned then what the Gemara says at the end of Sota, page 48. The Gemara there quotes a pasuk in Zechariah, Ki mi boz leyoim katnus. What caused the shame and embarrassment on the day of katnus? And the Gemara says there, Mi goram letzadikim sheyizbazbeiz shulchonam lasid lavoi. Who caused tzadikim, great tzadikim, that their table, their table in Gan Eden, their table in the future, should be full of shame and embarrassment? You know who caused it? Katnus shehoyo bohem biatzmon. Their own small-mindedness. Sheloi haeminu bohem biatzmon. They didn't believe in themselves. That's the wording in the Gemara. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, if you look in Rashi, Rashi in the Gemara just says katnus emuna. It was a deficiency of emuna. And a person learning that Rashi could think that Rashi is talking about emuna in Hashem or emuna in the Torah, this, that. But Rav Nosson Zal says, if you look at the words in the Gemara, the Gemara says katnus shehoyo bahem. The smallness, the lack of emuna that they had in themselves. So Rav Nosson Zal says, it seems that Rabbeinu Zal's interpretation seems to be more exacting in exactly what the Gemara is saying. That the katnus of emunah that the Gemara is talking about over there is a deficiency, a lack of emunah in themselves. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds that it's possible to say that they didn't believe in Hashem, that Hashem is good to everybody, including me, and that I'm also important in the eyes of Hashem. And because of this, this was called this katnus, this small-mindedness. Again, going back to the fact that they didn't believe in themselves. And if we look at it that way, then what Rashi's saying also fits. But in any case, Rav Nosson Zal says that Rabbeinu Zal made it perfectly clear that a Yid has to believe in himself, that Hashem loves him very, very much, that based on Hashem's goodness, even somebody like me, with all my chesroinus, and even living in this today's generation, which is called Hastora Shebetoy Hastora, we are so far from Hashem compared to earlier generations, still, we are very special in the eyes of Hashem. We're more important than the Malachim. We're more important. We are the most important thing in creation. And the whole creation was for us. The Medrash says, Bereshis Bore Elokim, Bishvil Reshis. That Hashem, the whole Bria, the whole creation, was because of Reshis, which is Yisroel, Am Yisroel. There's a pasuk, Kodesh Yisroel Hashem, Reshis Tivu Asoi. We're called the first crop of Hashem. And here the commentary, the Noyam Asichos, quotes one of the outstanding students of the Baal Shem Tov, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who writes in his Sefer, in Parsha Sekev, paragraph 4, he speaks about anova, humility. Now, we know that the Rambam writes that when it comes to all midos, just about, a person has to take the middle of the road. Middle of the road. Never extreme. Never too much. Too much chesed can do harm. Givura, every one of the midos. The only midah that's an exception to that, if I recall, that the Rambam writes, is gaiva. When it comes to gaiva, there he says, not even a drop. Run away from it like from poison. But here, the Toldos Yaakov writes that even when it comes to anova, when it comes to humility, a person has to have a midah beinonis, a middle of the road. What do we mean? Because he said, I heard from my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, that too much humility can cause a person to become distant from Hashem. Because when a person has too much anivus, he doesn't believe that his tefillah is a game changer, that his tefillah can make a world of difference. His tefillah can bring down a flow of shefa to all the worlds. And even the malachim, even the angels in heaven, are being nourished through our Torah and tefillah. Because if a person did believe that, how much simcha and how much yira would a person have in his tefillah? How much power would he put into it? And he would be careful about each and every word, each and every letter, to say it the right way. Elamai, we don't believe that we're so chashuv. We don't believe that we're so chashuv and our tefillah is so chashuv. That's the mistake. And he brings also the pasuk in Tehillim, where Dovra Melech says, Im tishkivun bein svatoyim, that kaviochel, Hashem sleeps between our lips. Kaviochel. And the Gemara says on this, that Hashem watches the lips of a yid, and Hashem wants to kiss our lips when he hears us speaking words of Torah and tefillah, with Yira and Ava, with the right Hislavus. So again, a person who knows that Hashem is waiting for every word that's going to come out of my mouth, how serious would the person be in doing it to the best of his ability? And this is similar to what the Gemara says in Gittin, page 56, where the Gemara there introduces the topic of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says there, An v'sonusoi shel Rabbi Zecharia goram churban beis hamikdash. The anivus of Rabbi Zecharia ben Kivutal is what caused the churban beis hamikdash. There the Gemara tells the whole story, what it was about, the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa, and how he cut the lip of the animal, a whole story. And the Gemara says that because Rabbi Zecharia wasn't strong enough, he wasn't powerful enough, that ended up resulting that they didn't bring the animal, and he went back to the Roman king, and the Roman king said, okay, we're going to wipe out Yerushalayim, we're going to kill all the Yidden. Whereas had the Yidden been strong enough and put him to death, kill that person so he couldn't go back and report to the Roman king, could be things were... But that's, a person would say, it's strange. The Gemara should blame the Churban Beis Hamikdash on anivus? The answer is yes. When it's the wrong kind of anivus, when it's anivus that leads to moichin de katnus. And here again, Rav Nosson Zalietz, that a person has to know that based on how good Hashem is, even somebody like me is very choshuv to him, and what I do is very choshuv. And he adds here that it's explained several places in our Sforim that anova is not that a person should allow himself to be in moichin de katnus. And therefore, a person has to beg Hashem a lot to be zeichet to understand what's real anova. Anova is not a person can be a gibor, a shimshna gibor, and yet anova. Anova meaning tremendous respect for Hashem, tzaddikim, but he's not a schlepper, he's not weak, he's a gibor, shebigiborim. When it comes to doing something, he'll have zrizus, he'll be the first one to jump to do it, especially b'mokim sheinish. If there isn't somebody else to do the job, he'll run to do it quickly and with full power. Rav Nosson Zal points us to two places in Likutei Moran, in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 22 and 72, are two of the places where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about anova, and how careful a person has to be to understand Anova the right way. Moshe Rabbeinu was an Anov. That didn't stop him from going in front of Paroi and telling him, hey buddy, you're in big trouble. You're king and you think you're Hashem, you're everything. You're in big trouble and I'm going to show you. We see that the Aniva, it wasn't the stira, his Anivus, to his Azaz Digdusha. And Rav Nosson Zal adds that shortly after Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, Rosh Hashanah came, and that's when Rabbeinu Zal gave the Shir Torah Samach Aleph in Likutei Moran, Chodi Rabbi Shimon. And there also Rabbeinu Zal mentions this Nekuda about a person, especially Talmidei Chachamim, when they're lacking in Emunah in themselves. There in paragraph 5 of the Torah, Rabbeinu Zal writes that sometimes there are tzaddikim who have machloikis against them, they have major opposition against them because of the fact that they don't have emunah in themselves. Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk, v'sefer kosav ish rivi. Riv means machloikis. That through machloikis sometimes there are sforim that are written. Where were it not for the machloikis, the person would think of himself like nothing and he wouldn't push himself as much. But when he's put to the test of this major machloikis, sometimes that's what motivates him and inspires him to do what he needs to do. We could imagine Rav Nosson Zal himself alone, who we read his sforim and we read the way he writes about himself. And Rabbeinu Zal himself said that this person was the epitome of shiflus, anivus. He considered himself a shtick blotter, Rabbeinu Zal said, like a piece of dirt. Imagine how much gevura it took for this person, number one, to write all of his chidushim, to write down all of his chidushei Torah, and to give it to be published and printed, where he knew that it would take mesiras nefesh. In Russia at that time, the government wouldn't allow you to publish sforim. There was so much opposition, and he needed money to do it. He didn't have a penny. His students didn't have a penny, which means it took mesiras nefesh to go collect money, to be able to afford to print it, and to get permission, all the different things. And we see that again, the fact that he had this anivus and shiflus, the fact that he considered himself nothing in a certain way, didn't stop him from knowing that the whole tikkun ha'olam was dependent on him. And that the whole future of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael would be able to exist and thrive until Mashiach comes, was dependent on these sforim being written and published and printed and reprinted again and again to be available to be studied by people like us in the generations before Mashiach. Tomorrow is going to be Tes Teves, the 9th of Teves, which is the yahrzeit of the mother of a very close friend of ours, Ami Rosen, who's one of the people who helps tremendously in everything that we do here in Eretz Yisrael. We dedicate the shir today Le'iloi Nishmas, his mother, Yehudis Gila, whose yahrzeit is on the 9th of Teves, one day before Rav Nosson Zal's yahrzeit. Paragraph Kuf Mem Aleph, 141. Here Rav Nosson Zal elaborates on the Tikkun HaKloli that Rabbeinu Zal revealed. In chapter 92 of the second half of Likutei Moran, there Rabbeinu Zal begins, Tikkun Lemikro Laila Rachmono Litzlon, Loimar Asoro Kapitel Tehillim, that the tikkun for mikre laila, mikre means something that happens by accident. If a person chas v'shalom has an accident in middle of the night during their sleep, when there's chas v'shalom zera levatola, there's seed that's released, the sforim agdoshim, the Gemara, the Zohar HaKadosh, all Sifrei Kabbalah, all Sifrei Hasidus write that this is a very powerful form of tumah. It's a tremendous tumor, and a person needs to do what they can to wipe out this tumor, because the Arizal says that this particular item, more than any other Avera, creates mazikin. It creates destructive forces. Malachi Chabola, angels who can do harm to Klal Yisrael, to the whole world. So we have to see to do something to neutralize them, to erase this. And the different sforim, the Zohar HaKadosh and the Reishis Chochma, they mention the importance of mikveh, that toiveling in the mikveh is a major tikkun for this and for everything. But Rabbeinu Zal added to this, besides mikveh, as we're going to see, which Rabbeinu Zal considered very, very important, in addition to mikveh, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about these 10 chapters of Tehillim, as is explained in Torah Reish Hei, in chapter 205, in the first half of Likutei Moran. Whereas now in chapter 92, he actually goes ahead and lists which are the 10 chapters, 16, 31, 41, 42, 59, 77, 90, 105, 137, and 150. Now, Rav Nosson Zal begins here by saying, you should know, my brother. Rav Nosson Zal uses the word ochi, which he doesn't use so often. He's showing an extra hiskarvus here when he's talking about this, because this is so special that Rabbeinu Zal was successful in revealing the tikkun for this item. And Rav Nosson Zal says, in the beginning, when Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, I was not there at the time. He spoke about it in front of other Talmidim, but then Hashem helped me that I was zeichet a short while later, after Rabbeinu Zal started revealing this, and his son-in-law, Reb Yitzchok, one of Rabbeinu Zal's sons-in-law, told over what he had heard from Rabbeinu Zal on this topic. And then, shortly afterwards, Hashem worked it out that I spoke to Rabbeinu Zal about this, and Rabbeinu Zal himself told me briefly what he said in chapter 205 in Likutei Moran. At that time, when he revealed that Torah, he did not specify which 10 chapters of Tehillim it is. He just said that in order for a person to make a tikkun, a complete correction for this type of tumah, a person should recite 10 chapters of Tehillim, period. And I heard that Rabbeinu Zal said that it would be the right thing to reveal which are the 10 chapters. However, the truth is, any 10 chapters that a person will say are a tikkun for this, because all 10 chapters of Tehillim, throughout the whole Sefer Tehillim, whichever ones they are all tied into the 10 types of song which the Sefer Tehillim is based on, which serve as a tikkun for this. Now, at the time that Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, he said that the first tikkun is mikveh, that a person has to try as quickly as possible after this happens to them to toivel in the mikveh. And then Rabbeinu Zal revealed the tikkun of the 10 chapters of Tehillim. Rabbeinu Zal also said once that a person has to be very careful to make sure to dip in the mikveh on that day, on the same day that this occurred to them. And even if they're not able to go in the morning, right away in the morning for whatever reason, still they should try to make sure before sunset, before nightfall, to make sure to go. Sometimes if a person doesn't get a chance to go in the morning, they say, oh, I missed it. Going in the afternoon is not, it's not the same. The day is almost over. But when Rabbeinu Zal said, when it comes to this, if chas v'shalom a person has a mikra at night, they should try their best within that day to make sure they get to the mikveh. After this, Rav Nosson Zal says, approximately 4 years after Rabbeinu Zal started the discussion about this, and Rav Nosson Zal says, for me to tell you what went on during those 4 years, there isn't enough paper to write how much went on, what we went through during those 4 years. And Rabbeinu Zal already had his sickness of tuberculosis. He was already suffering from the tuberculosis, which was the last 3 years of his life. And he had already returned from his visit to Lemberg, where he met with doctors and professors there. So one time, during the winter, Rabbeinu Zal was lying in bed, and we were standing in front of him, some of his students, and he began to speak about these 10 chapters, these 10 chapters of Tehillim, that are a tikkun for this problem called Mikra Laila, Chas V'Shalom. And then Rabbeinu Zal instructed me to write down the psukim in Tehillim which allude to the 10 types of song which are a tikkun for this. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, I sat and I wrote, and Rabbeinu Zal read to me the psukim in Tehillim which highlight the 10 types of song which Tehillim is based on. And these psukim are found in chapter 92 in the second half of Likutei Moran. And that's when Rabbeinu Zal revealed that he wants to tell us which 10 chapters of Tehillim specifically are the formula for this tikkun. So we were standing there waiting for him to say it, and he didn't. Afterwards, Rav Nosson Zal says, I left to go back home, and then I came back to the city of Breslov on a particular Shabbos, and Hashem made it that I saw a piece of paper on which Rabbeinu Zal had written for himself the 10 chapters of Tehillim, the numbers of the 10 chapters of Tehillim that a person needs to say. But Rav Nosson Zal says, I felt that it wouldn't be respectful for me to take that and copy it over without permission. So I thought, at least let me try to memorize it. But I couldn't, out of the respect for my Rebbe, out of the fear of my Rebbe, my brain wouldn't allow me to make a copy of it in my brain without clear permission. Because chas v'shalom, who knows, maybe Rabbeinu Zal be angry, because again, I had walked into his room and saw this piece of paper and looked at it without his permission. And Rav Nosson Zal says this took place on Shabbos Parsha Shkolim, which is a little bit before the holiday of Purim, of the year Tov Kuf Ayin, a year before Rabbeinu Zal passed away. When Rabbeinu Zal had gone out of his room and gone into another large room during Kriya Satoira, and Rav Nosson Zal writes, I had entered into his room for some reason, and I saw that piece of paper on which Rabbeinu Zal had written for himself these 10. The following day, on Sunday, Yom Rishon, when I was saying goodbye to Rabbeinu Zal to go back home, I spoke with him, and I asked him to please tell me which ones are exactly the 10 chapters, because I knew that he already had written it down, and Rabbeinu Zal didn't want to. And he said, there'll be time. There'll be time for this. So I left. Afterwards, a short while later, when I was in Nemirov, Rav Nosson Zal says, when I was back home, that was when Rabbeinu Zal revealed the numbers of these 10 chapters in front of two of my closest friends, Reb Aaron Zal, the Rav of the city of Breslov, and Reb Naftoli Zal, who also lived in Nemirov, where Rav Nosson Zal lived. And Rabbeinu Zal actually took them as witnesses, and he said to them, Rabbeinu Zal said the following words, because of the fact that in this problem of Mikre Laila, two-thirds of the world are nichshal in this, therefore, I'm taking both of you as my witnesses that you should know that these 10 chapters of Tehillim, reciting these 10 chapters of Tehillim, helps tremendously to serve as a tikkun for this pigam called Keri. And it's a complete tikkun, and it helps tremendously. Ma'oid, ma'oid, Rabbeinu Zal said. Now, Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, and he said, there are times that this happens to a person not because of the fact that they were thinking bad thoughts or they were looking at things they weren't supposed to look at, but it could happen to a person if a person eats too much or drinks too much, especially before going to sleep. Or sometimes it could happen to a person when the person's feeling especially weak and tired. A person takes a long trip, a long journey, and they finally arrive at their destination and they're wiped out from the travel. Sometimes that could cause it. Or sometimes it be caused by the fact that the person isn't sleeping properly. We know the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say that it's very much preferred when a person lays down, when they lay down in the beginning of the night, they should lay on their left side so that if they ate or drank before that, it allows the body to digest the food that they ate or drank properly while they're sleeping. And then it says that if a person wakes up in the middle of the night, they should turn over on their right side. But a person should not sleep, a Jew should not sleep on his stomach or on his back. Both of these lying on the stomach makes a person especially vulnerable for this type of problem, chas v'shalom, this kind of mikra. And lying on one's back, facing Hashem that way, is also considered to be disrespectful to Hashem. A person is supposed to lie on his side, again, to start off on the left side and then switch to the right side, if possible. So Rabbeinu Zal said that if this mikra laila happens to a person because of these reasons, because he ate too much or drank or weak or tired, then it doesn't count. It's not considered that super tumah, that major pigam that creates these mazikin, these damaging forces. But rather, chas v'shalom, it's like a baby wets themselves at night, chas v'shalom, that kind of thing. Rabbeinu Zal added, there are times that min hashamayim, from heaven, they protect a person from having this happen to them. And then Rabbeinu Zal added, sometimes when a person's sleeping, they'll experience a feeling like they're falling. They're suddenly falling, and then they wake up. That's also something min hashamayim, something from heaven, where the person is being shown that he's being saved from this pigam, this type of thing, a mikra. It's only when it happens to a person because of the fact that the person was thinking sinful thoughts, then this type of accidental emission results in creating klipos and forces of tumah, as is found in many svarim. However, a person who on the day that this happens to him will recite these 10 chapters of Tehillim will definitely repair any damage done in a tremendous way. And again, remember the day, the Jewish day begins from the night. So when we're talking about repairing it that day, we mean the following morning and throughout the day. Rabbeinu Zal went on to explain that there were many, many tzaddikim from the beginning of time who studied this. They worked very hard to try to discover the complete tikkun for this. Some of them didn't understand it whatsoever. Some of them knew a little bit about it. They understood it a little bit, but they passed away while they were in the middle of researching this, and they were not zeicher to complete it. But me, Rabbeinu Zal said, Hashem helped me that I was zeicher to understand this completely. And I was zeicher to discover the complete tikkun for this. And this tikkun of reciting these 10 chapters of Tehillim is something brand new. No other tzaddik before ever revealed it, ever knew about it. It's a chiddush nifla, and it is tikkun nifla v'noira ma'oid ma'oid. It's an incredible, awesome tikkun. If a person can go to the mikveh first and then say the 10 chapters, then it's excellent. However, even if there's a situation where the person can't go to the mikveh, for example, the person is sick, or they're traveling, they find themselves in a place where there is no mikveh, still, if a person will say these 10 chapters, Ashrei Loi, he's very, very lucky, because it's an awesome, great tikkun. Now, if the person will say it with kavana, where he understands the words that he's saying, then it's excellent, it's very, very good. But even if he doesn't, even for those people who don't understand the Lashon Kodesh, the Hebrew, and they don't have a translation, just saying the words themselves is very good. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this tikkun was not known from the time of creation. Nobody knew about this. Now Rabbeinu Zal added, probably you would understand that I would have liked to eliminate this completely. Just like the Gemara says, for example, that at one point the rabbis prayed very hard to remove the taiva for Avodah Zarah from the world, and they succeeded. So Rabbeinu Zal said, I also would have wanted maybe to eliminate this problem completely, that it shouldn't exist. However, Rabbeinu Zal said, this is impossible. It's impossible begashmius, and it's impossible beruchnius. Begashmius, on a physical level, it's impossible because it would require changing the nature, the natural makeup of a human being on a permanent level. And we know that that's something that's impossible. Even Moshe Rabbeinu or other great tzaddikim who performed miracles, they were mevatel the teva for a period of time, a short period of time. Kriyas Yamsuf, the sea split for a certain period of time, but then it went back to its normal order, or other miracles. And again, it was only regarding a specific body of water, the Kriyas Yamsuf, or the splitting of the Jordan River that Yeshua did, and it was only for a short period of time. Whereas to change the teva of people permanently, that's something that cannot be done. That's on a physical level. And Rabbi Nizal said, Baruch Nias also. It's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want this thing to be eliminated completely because of the fact that there are certain benefits in this. We find that Rabbi Nizal says in another place that sometimes the reason why this happens to a person is because the person has a hidden tumah inside of them that they don't even realize, they don't know about, and the only way it can come out of a person is in this manner. And again, Rabbi Nosson Zal emphasizes that Rabbi Nizal took those two great rabbis as witnesses, and he said to them, Shegam kiyimlu yomov, that even, Rabbi Nizal said, even when my days are over, when I complete my stay on this earth, and I pass away, anyone who will come to my grave and they'll recite these 10 chapters of Tehillim over there and they'll give a coin to charity on my behalf, no matter how big that person's sins are, no matter how many sins they committed, no matter how bad a life they led, I will do everything in my power. I'll extend myself to the length and the breadth in order to help that person and to make a tikkun for that person. And Rabbi Nizal added that I'm positive about everything I say, but regarding this, I'm more positive than anything else that I said, that these 10 chapters of Tehillim help tremendously. And then Rabbi Nosson goes on to list them again, 16, 32, 41, 42, 59, 77, 90, 105, 137, and 150. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that this has been published in many places, and he says, unfortunately, when they did the first printing of Sipurei Maaseiyos, accidentally there was an error there where they wrote chapter 133 instead of 137, because a Gimel and a Zion are very similar to each other in the way it's printed in a Sefer Torah. And unfortunately, in some places, that mistake carried over. But it's clear to all of us that the chapter Rabbi Nizal had in mind was 137. And Rabbi Nizal said that this is tikkun hakloli. Kloli means general tikkun, meaning that besides the fact that it's a repair for this specific tumah, it's a repair for any sin or any type of tumah or any type of problem that a Jew could possibly have, spiritually, materialistically, in anything. And Rabbi Nizal went on to say, each and every individual sin has a specific tikkun that's related to that sin. But this tikkun of tikkun akloli applies to all of them. And he said that this is something that should be publicized to everybody. Now Rabbi Nizal added that even though this is something relatively easy, how difficult is it for a Jew to recite 10 chapters of Tehillim? He said, still there are going to be many people that are going to find this very difficult to fulfill. They're going to come up with 100 excuses and there's going to be 100 obstacles to block them from doing this. And Rav Nosson Zal says, sure enough, we saw this even during our time, that because of the major opposition against Breslov, against Rabbi Nizal, the majority of people still do not say that. They don't do this. However, Rabbi Nizal told us in advance, and we did what we could to publicize this, to let the world know about this, this great tikkun, and let each person do what they think is right. Those who listen will listen, and those who don't, it's their issue. At least we have saved ourselves by publicizing this in whatever ways we could. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds that there's a sefer called Tikkun Shabbos. And the author of that sefer mentions the Tikkun HaKloli, but he quotes it in the name of a different sefer called Asoro Hilulim. He doesn't quote it in the name of Rabbi Nizal. Rav Nosson Zal writes that you should know, if you take a look in the sefer Tikkun Moed, you'll see that in that sefer, it says very clearly that it was Rabbi Nizal, Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, that was the one who revealed this. And so too, other sforim that quote this, they all quote it in the name of Rabbi Nizal. And if you look carefully, he says, if you look in any of the sforim that quote any other sources, Those other sources were all printed after Rabbi Nizal passed away. He says maybe could be that rabbi or other rabbis, because they wanted people to say this, and they knew that there are some people who, if they know that it's Breslov, they know if it's Rabbi Nizal, they won't say it. So therefore, they fulfill the words in the Gemara in Yevamos, page 65, where the Gemara says you're allowed to lie for the sake of peace, especially if it comes to so great a tikkun like this. If you want a person to have the tikkun, so again, you're allowed to, that the person should know the true source of it. Possibly that was the reason. But Rav Nosson Zal adds that this is a new tikkun that nobody from the time of creation knew until Rabbi Nizal revealed it. And he adds that it's very good when a person says this, that they should say this in the name of Rabbi Nizal. That I'm saying these 10 chapters because this tzaddik, Rabbi Nizal, Rabbi Nachman ben Feger, said we should do this. In order that Rabbi Nizal should have the privilege of having his lips move in the grave. The Gemara says that when you say something in the name of a particular tzaddik, that tzaddik is the one who taught you this, even though, again, Rabbi Nizal didn't write the Sefer Tehillim, Dovid HaMelech wrote it, other tzaddikim. But if I say that I'm reciting these 10 chapters because my Rebbe said so, because Rabbi Nizal said, it's a tremendous benefit to the neshama of the tzaddik, whereby tzaddikim yearn for this. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why we revealed it and explained it this way, and let the zchus of Rabbi Nizal stand for us and protect us from all of our sins, from all of our suffering. Amen. Ken Yehi Ratzon.